Genesis chapter 19th chapter, the first book of the Word of God. And let's look at a couple of verses in this passage of Scripture and dissect it as God would lead us. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face to the ground. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. He said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." Lord, help us. Father, I pray now that you bless the preaching of your word. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Thank you for being a good God, a faithful God, a loving God, a worthy God, a holy God. Thank you for being my God. And I'm not perfect, but I am redeemed. And I've got something to say. And I pray that the world will hear it from me. So, Lord, they'll have a desire to be connected to thee. Now, bless the preaching of the word of God. Use me in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. As we travel our way through Genesis chapter 18, prior to tonight's text, we pose the question, what is it like to be the friend of God? And we saw that demonstrated in the life of God's friend, Abraham. Because he was God's friend, God came to see him with an individual appearance. Because he was God's friend, when God came to see him, he responded with an instinctive accommodation. If God showed up, Abraham said, "I will make sure he's well taken care of." Amen. If you're God's friend, when he shows up, you make sure God is well taken care of. Because Abraham was God's friend, God gave him an incredible announcement. Because Abraham was God's friend, he and God had an intimate affinity. And because Abraham and God were friends, they walked through, if you would, through interceding activity. Abraham was on grounds with his friend God to ask God to do a favor for somebody else on Abraham's behalf. You know you're the friend of God when you can go to God and ask God to help somebody else for your sake. What a blessing. Aren't you glad that friendship with God puts you on good speaking terms? Aren't you glad that friendship with God allows you to go into his presence time after after time, share your importunity, share the burden on your heart, and know that God never goes. You've met your quota. You've maxed out your time. Your minutes have expired. God stood in the presence of Abraham, and Abraham stood in the presence of God and asked him if they're 50 righteous, if they're 40 righteous, if they're 30 righteous. One question after another. God stood there. God didn't leave till Abraham stopped talking. God didn't walk away until Abraham was done. I'm glad if I can be a friend of God that God will stay and listen as long as I've got some on my heart. What a blessing. But in chapter 19, we're not going to investigate the life of Abraham and what it's like to be the friend of God. We're on the contrary going to investigate the life of Lot and what it's like to be the friend of the world. See, you're going to see there's a big difference in being the friend of God and being the friend of the world. The events of chapter 18 are entirely different than the events of chapter 19. Who's there? What's happening? What goes on? The scene in chapter 19 and the scene in chapter 18, the scenes are different because you got two different friends in each text. In 18, you got the friend of God. In 19, you got the friend of the world. In 18, you got Abraham. In 19, you got Lot. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist or a long studying theologian to find out that 18, Abraham, friend of God, comes out way better than 19, Lot, friend of the world. We shouldn't even have to investigate this entire text to come to that conclusion. We could go around the room tonight and ask you about your personal testimony. And it wouldn't take you years. It wouldn't take you months. It wouldn't take you weeks. It perhaps wouldn't even take you days of either one of these sections to come to the very serious conclusion that it is always better to be God's friend than the world's friend. Now, I want to point out something before I get into this text and just give you just a couple things tonight. They're both Christians. Look up here. I said they're both Christians. When I'm preaching about Abraham saved man, chapter 18, Lot lost man, chapter 19. When I'm preaching about Abraham, someone who's been redeemed, and Lot, someone who's unredeemed. When I'm preaching about Abraham, somebody who's going to heaven, chapter 18, Lot, somebody's going to hell. When I'm preaching about Abraham, somebody that knows God, and Lot, somebody that doesn't know God. We're speaking about two people that both knew God, that were both righteous people. The New Testament, when it refers to Lot, calls him a righteous man. And ladies and gentlemen, it is proof text to all of us that you can be a child of God and a friend of the world at the same time. You just ain't gonna make out well. And I'm here to tell you, it didn't go well for Lot. It ain't gonna go well for you. So you might as well just get yoked up with the right person. Now let's look just at a couple thoughts tonight. First of all, we see in chapter 19 some settled carnality. Settled carnality. Pastor, what happens when I'm the friend of the world? I get settled in carnality. But Pastor, what do you mean he was settled? I mean he didn't start settled. He ended up settled. See, in the chapters earlier, the herdsmen of Lot couldn't get along with the herdsmen of Abraham. And all of a sudden they decided to separate because they couldn't get over their tensions. Abraham let Lot choose which direction he wanted to go. He looked up towards Sodom. And he saw well-watered plains. He saw what looked good to the eye. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. And the pride of life. He saw what appealed to his flesh. He saw what jived with his pleasure. He saw what fit with his worldly desires. And the Bible said he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Now, wait a minute now. He's just towards Sodom. But by the time we get to chapter number 19, he's not towards Sodom. He's in Sodom. And he's settled in Sodom. You say, Pastor, how did he get there? I'll tell you. His heart was in Sodom before his body was in Sodom. And his body had to go where his heart was. Oh, Pastor, I'm not settled in carnality. Maybe you're not. But are you gazing at it? Has the devil enamored you with the it looks good of worldliness? And you're looking. Sure looks better over there. Grass looks green over there. Sure looks like a whole lot more fun over there. Whole lot fewer rules over there. A whole lot less strictness over there. If I can go over there, I won't have so many people watching me over there. I won't have so many standards over there. I won't have so many people in my business over there. If I could just get to Sodom, it'd be a whole lot easier, a whole lot less pressure, a whole lot more preferences that I could make based on my own desires. That's what Lot said. But by the time he gets there, he goes from towards Sodom to in Sodom. Notice this settled carnality, if you would. There are some tasked messengers. Verse number 1 of Genesis 19 says, there came what? Talk to me. Two angels. These men were sent to Sodom. It's what I call tasked messengers. Would you flip back the page to Genesis 18? Two angels came to see Lot. Somebody say amen. Genesis chapter 18. Verse number 1. And who appeared? Come on, talk to me. Please look at your Bibles. Genesis chapter 18, verse number 1. And who appeared? The Lord, right? How many angels showed up in chapter 18? Three. And one of them was who? God, the Lord Jesus Christ. How many angels showed up in chapter 19? Two. God said, y'all go on. I'm not going to make this trip. I'll go in chapter 18 because my friend's there. But I'm not going in chapter 19 because their friend's there. Well, Pastor, how do I know if I'm a friend of the world when God is uncomfortable visiting you? Why didn't God make this journey? Because Sodom wasn't a comfortable hangout spot for the Lord. Am I a friend of the world? Is God comfortable in your car? Is God comfortable in your house? Is God comfortable on your social media? Is God comfortable at your job? Is God comfortable in your bedroom? Is God comfortable in your conversations? Is God comfortable in your thought life? Is God comfortable in your giving? Is God comfortable in your habits? Well, Pastor, I don't really want to get into that. That's my business. Let me tell you something. I don't know about you. The best business I've ever had are the business from Almighty God. And I never want to be in a place where God says, angels, y'all go and do my bidding, but not me. Tasked messengers. In Genesis 18, God went himself to see his friend. In Genesis 19, God sent angels to go where he wouldn't go because the friend was a friend of the world. Tasked messengers. Notice, if you would, also the timed moment. At even. Turn back to Genesis chapter 18, if you would. Chapter 19, they showed up to see Lot in the evening time. Chapter 18, God showed up to see Abram in the heat of the day. Somebody help me, please. Well, we're going to go see Abraham. We better go see him at night. I'm sorry, go see Lot. We better go see him at night. We can go see Abraham in the middle of the day. Watch this now. It doesn't matter. It can be in the heat of the day and I can show up and see my friend because I know I'm not going to walk in on no mess. But at night, he showed up to see Lot. Lot, I don't want to come in the heat of things. I don't want to come in the middle of the day, night. I want to send my messengers to come find you at evening time. Men love darkness rather than light, don't they? Because it is evil. Notice the telling mode of Lot. It says a lot about what mode he was in when they came to see him. Chapter 19. And Lot sat where? At the gate. Lot is a paid official. Now, remember, chapter 13. He's with his uncle. They're rich. They're blessed. God is moving. Chapter 14, God says, walk northward, westward, eastward. Abraham, look far as the stars of the sea, stars of the sky. I'm going to bless you and multiply you. Listen to me. That happened in chapter 14. Lot wanted to leave in chapter 13. He missed the blessing by one chapter. And now we're from chapter 13 to chapter 19. He's sitting at the gate. He's receiving revenue. He has a promotion. He is on the devil's payroll. Save man. Watch this now. Save man. Getting paid by the devil. It's a telling mode. How many Christians are commonly found sitting in the world's seats? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Nor standeth. Nor. You see the digression? You walk around somebody long enough, you'll start standing with them. You stand around somebody long enough, you start sitting. Somebody help me preach. It's a digression. Not a progression, it's a digression. Not a progression, it's a regression. Not a progression, it's backwards. Not forward, it's backwards. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Companion of fools shall be destroyed. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good men. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Are you listening to me tonight? Jeremiah said, mine eye affecteth my heart. Yeah, that was a good thing. It was a bad thing for Lot. He looked at something long enough till he wanted it. Amen. David looked. If David had quit looking, he wouldn't have sent for Bathsheba. Come on. But his eye affected his heart. He looked at something he shouldn't have been looking at. And then he wanted something he shouldn't have wanted. And then he took something that wasn't his. Come on now. Then he hid it. Then he destroyed her husband. Then he lived in sin for 9 months till the man of God had to put a knowledge in front of his face that made David mad. That a man with a bunch of sheep would steal the one sheep from man with only one sheep. And then Nathan looked at him and said, thou art the man. Sin blinds you to logic. The telling mode of Lot, he's sitting at the gate. Look, if you would, at what I call a he has some thoughtful manners. He bowed himself with his face to the ground. Come in, my lords. Turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house. Tarry all night, wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your way. Look at chapter 18. How was God met? Verse 3, my Lord, if I now found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched. Wash your feet. Rest yourselves under the tree. I will fetch a morsel of bread. Comfort you, your hearts, all that ye pass on. For therefore you come to your servant. They said, so do as thou hast said. Now watch this now. God showed up with two angels to meet his friend in chapter 18. His friend immediately made accommodations for him. And after he made accommodations for God, God responded with those angels, so do as thou hast said. Two angels showed up to meet the friend of the world. In chapter 19, he said, stay. They said, no, we're gone. Thoughtful manners, but he had what I call a turbulent mindset. Abraham says, Wait a second. I'll run and get you something. Remember the story we talked about Abraham being 90 years old, running around picking up a lamb and running back and forth and doing all these things? Why he wanted to make sure God was taken care of? Amen. Now look at Lot. Get in here quickly. Now I'm paraphrasing. Turn in. Tarry all night. Rise up early and go your way. Did you hear that? Stay, get in here fast, spend the whole night, and get out of here early. Now, Abraham says, wait right here. Let me go get you something. Let me fetch you some water. Let me take care of you. Hey, servant, give me the best lamb. Let me fix you. Hey, Sarah, cook the best stuff we got. God came to visit us. Lot says to the angels, get in my house fast, stay all night, and leave early in the morning. One says, stay because I love you. My friend came to see you. The other says, the angels are here. I can't afford for you to see how I live out in the streets. So get in the house fast so you can't see how they do it down here in Sodom. And get out of here quickly in the morning so I can hide my lifestyle from you. That's why I call it turbulent. Lot's restless. You ever had somebody show up, you didn't want to show up? You know what you do? You move them quickly. Huh? And when they start gravitating towards areas in the house that you don't want them to see, you redirect them, don't you? Oh, no, come here, let me show you this. It's not that you really want to show them this. It's that you don't want them to see that. Come here. Get in here quick. They came at night. But at night, anything could happen in Sodom. Come on now. By the way, in America, at night, anything can happen. Ain't much good happen late at night. Amen. Christian folk need to be in the house at night. Now, I'm not just talking about young people. I'm talking about all people. Some people work at night. I'm not have a problem with that. Some people have to travel at night. I'm getting ready to do it in just a little bit. I don't have a problem with that. But I'm talking about people that just think that there is something they're missing by giving the streets up at night. Listen to me. Go to bed at night. And work during the day. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Jesus said the night cometh when no man can work. Hey, it's time to do God's work during the day. It is time to rest up. Get in the house. Angels. You think Lot was all happy to see them? No. Lot got up off that seat as soon as they came because he said, I need to get them out of this area. You know what I'm simply saying? When God sends his messengers on you, when you don't want them to be there, you move them out quickly. Oh, he's giving them manners. He's feeding them. Sometimes the people that you want to treat you the best, you have to treat the best. Abraham treated God properly in chapter 18 because he loved God. Abraham treated these angels properly in chapter 19 because he didn't want them in on his business. Let me ask you a question. What's your motive for good manners? See, people raise their hand in church all the time, but it may not be for the right reason. I mean, people smile. People go to the altar. I mean, people shout. But it could be. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Why? I don't want him in on these side corridors. Hear my shout and avoid my thoughts. Hear my praise and avoid my habits. Look at my Sunday morning. Don't check out my Saturday night. It's a lot. What a sad thing. He had a generous invitation. He had a gracious insistence, but he had, if you would, a genuine intent. Get them out the street. Very quickly, just give me about 5 more minutes. It was not only a settled carnality in the life of the friend of the world, but secondly, there was a sinful climate. The angels are in the house, And Lot is rushing them in. Get to bed. Go to sleep. So you miss what goes on in Sodom at night. Huh? Watch it, young people. Watch it when you're trying to rush your parents out your room. Amen. Watch it when you're trying to rush godly people away from your business. And meanwhile, as much as you're trying to rush them, before they could even lay down, verse 4, here come the Sodomites. Here come the men of Sodom. Here's what breaks my heart, and this is where we'll close. Both old and young. All the people from every quarter. I don't have a lot of time to get into all of this because I want to get into it like I want to. But I will tell you this. I was sitting in the barbershop today, and I was talking with the barber, and we were just lamenting over how there is a sweeping prevalence in our society amongst young people when it comes to homosexuality. It's become a trend. I said it's become a trend. I mean, these little cute girls hanging all over each other, boys hanging all over each other, and it becomes a trend. It becomes a giggling matter. It's not a giggling matter. I'm not talking about being ugly to anybody. I'm talking about being honest about the truth. Well, Pastor, I just don't understand why this spirit, somebody said to me, I think it's a spirit of them. I can call it whatever you want to call it. It's sin. And it breaks my heart, people, it breaks my heart that it's sweeping across our young people. Well, I don't want to defy your theory, but we're only 19 chapters into the Bible, and young people were into it. So desperate for their desires. So passionate about their immorality that they're begging for angels. And here we are, United States of America. And it seems like both young and old, they're surrounding everywhere begging for sin. That's why you can't afford to be the friend of the world, because even if you don't intend to indulge in what they indulge in, it's going to touch you. We never find one time in Scripture where Lot was an advocate of homosexuality. But we do find that he was a target of it. And to avoid it, he was willing to prostitute his daughter. You go ahead. Let the devil play you, con you, and tell you he's got better stuff. He's got greener grass. He's got cheaper seats. He's got more fun games. He's got fewer restrictions. Come on. He's got more parties. He's got much more general preaching. He's got much more choices when it comes to music. Many more options when it comes to leisure. He's got free, you're free to sin, free to jam, free to whip and nay-nay all you want to everywhere, you're free. Yeah, but watch it now, you're going out in that freedom all you want to. Before long, they won't just want you, they want your family. And I watch a lot of them, and I'm watching some of them now. Friends with the world. And they're losing everything. It's a sinful climate out there. It's wicked. It ain't built for you. You don't belong. They don't speak our language. I said they don't speak our language. They don't think our ideology. They don't espouse our philosophy. They don't play by our rules. They're not indwelt by our Holy Ghost. They're not headed to our heaven. They don't know our God. They can't understand what I understand. They're not us. And we're not them. But with God's grace, they can be us. And by God's power, we don't have to be them. By the way, if we're saved, we'll never be them. And if we're not them, we shouldn't be them's friends. And I'm not preaching against trying to befriend somebody that's not saved by giving them the gospel. I'm talking about choosing to march to the drumbeat of the world, to the world's lifestyles, the world's ideology, the world's philosophy, the world's fads, trends. And let me tell you something. You can disdain every narrow-minded Christian for being old-fashioned, outdated, mundane, out of style, stale, away with the times with this old-fashioned stuff that nobody espouses to. But I'm here to tell you, when you're throwing your daughters to the wolves because you're too worried about the devil messing with God's stuff, you'll wish you stayed at home. So anybody looking out the window? You may not be in Sodom, but you might have binoculars looking. And nowadays, you don't have to go. You don't have to get close to Sodom to see it. You can just click on a website. It will give you a virtual tour of Sodom. And you could be, the views can be so great, you'll feel like you're there. You don't have to leave home. You just click on it, bring it to your house. Next thing you know, you're pitching your tent towards Sodom. Next thing you know, you're in Sodom. And next thing you know, you get your paycheck from Sodom. But you don't want to burn with them. I'm not talking about hell. I'm talking about destruction. Because what goes up must come down. Amen. Unless it's connected to God. Because God doesn't go up. He's always been up. He don't have to come down. May God help us. God is giving us a vivid contrast in chapter 18. Of the difference from being a friend of God and the friend of the world. I'm not even through with the message. But haven't you already concluded that it's way better? I mean, it ain't even close to be the friend of God. Oh, Pastor, absolutely. I would rather be the friend of God than the world, than the friend of the world. Then do me a favor. Before Sunday comes, before Thursday comes, before you go to bed tonight, if you'd rather be the friend of God than the friend of the world, get closer to God tonight and unfriend some worldliness. Because we got to quit all this talking. But I want to be closer to God. You can't be closer to God and be the friend of the world. So go home and unfriend some stuff and some folk and some practices. Amen. And some places. Yeah. I'm saying quit some things that are paying you with the worldly stuff and sign up to be on Jesus' team. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of talk. And Lot knew how to talk it better than anybody. He even knew how to put on spirituality when the angel showed up. Got them fixing stuff, got them running around, got them hospitable, got them laying down, thinking, well, if I get them to sleep fast, they won't find out what goes on in a typical night at Sodom. Them jokers wouldn't even let the angels lay down before they're banging on the door. That's how insatiable the world is. They don't care about your Christianity. They are not going to accommodate it. Oh, I'm a Christian. Please don't, I'm sorry I'm at this party. Please turn it down a little bit. I love the Lord. You shouldn't have come here. Sodom ain't going to turn the music down for you. If you want music low, then don't go to Sodom. But don't be trying to take your Christian rules into Sodom. It'll never work. You want to go God's way, then do it in God's place. And that means being a friend of God, not a friend of the world. Father, thank you for your word. Help us. Help us, help us. Help us not to miss what you're saying. Help us not to miss what you're doing. And oh God, help us. Help us not to be guilty of being a friend of the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Standing together, if God's